item number 986 is next, please.
Authorize a grant agreement with Catholic Charities in an amount not to exceed $500,000 to support the Universal Representation Project through the Equity Corps of Oregon.
Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, I'm thrilled to see this item come before Council today, and I'd like to take a second to remind us of the path that led us here. In March 2017, Council passed the Welcoming Inclusive Sanctuary City Resolution to reaffirm the City's commitment to protecting and supporting our immigrant and refugee communities. In the fall of 2017, with the Mayor's blessing, the Office of Community and Civic Life, then ONI, took the lead on convening a task force that was authorized to provide Council with concrete recommendations for actions we could take. This task force convened in January and by March 2018 made four recommendations to Council. They prioritized the creation of a legal defense fund as the most urgent request that would immediately bring relief to the most vulnerable immigrants in our community. Luckily, our community partners were already working on a proposal for universal representation that would meet this need. I invited the Equity Corps of Oregon to a council work session so we could better understand and discuss the proposal. My office was able to submit a budget request for $500,000, which was approved by council and has since been matched by the county. Today's action will release these funds to Catholic Charities, which is the fiscal sponsor of this initiative. I'll say more about the outstanding needs after our invited speakers have a chance to provide their testimony. I'm hoping they are here. For now, however, I want to express my gratitude to community members for their advocacy and organizing, and to my colleagues for their continued and active support. So we have eight invited speakers today, and I'd like to invite the following speakers to the table. Roberto Gutierrez, it's always easier to say when I'm not up here. Leland Baxter Neal from, Roberto is from CASA. Leland Baxter Neal from ACLU. John Herrera, Catholic Charities. And Shanpone Sinlapasi from American Immigrant Lawyers Association. Oh, yeah, you are here. Welcome. Please state your name for the record, and it's all yours.
City Council members, for the record, my name is Roberto Gutierrez, Policy Director for CAUSA. Universal representation is designed to ensure just and fair legal representation by providing effective representation for our Oregonian immigrant populations. Nearly a year ago, a group of stakeholders convened together to design our Equity Corps model. So basically, I want to extend thanks to those folks here today. This effort would not necessarily happen if SOAR, ICS, Catholic Charities, MPD, ERCO, Latino Network, and the Innovation Law Lab did not come together to craft this proposal. I especially want to recognize the Commissioner Udaly's Sanctuary Task Force, because those members who participated in that work group through a series of months helped educate and bring this recommendation forward, and they were definitely instrumental in this process. Special thanks goes to Stephen Manning from the Innovation Law Lab, Leland Baxter Neal to my right, and Juliet Stumpf, professor at Lewis and Clark Law School, Teresa Smith, Lindsay Johansson, two students at Lewis and Clark Law School, for researching and designing and crafting this Equity Corps model. Special thanks goes to also Elena Jacob. She is one of the conveners of Oregon Ready for kind of guiding and shepherding this through with me for the last 10 months. And lastly, I would be remiss if I did not thank Commissioner Udaly for her commitment and leadership on universal representation. So we thank you. Mayor Wheeler, I'm not sure where Commissioner Fish went, but Commissioner Fritz, this city investment is unprecedented and will reach so many Oregonians, will be felt through a variety of individuals and families across the city here. And I want to note that Portland led the way with this funding. They were the first jurisdiction in Oregon to support universal representation, so I commend that effort here today. And we hope, moving forward, you will support our broader statewide advocacy, because it's a conversation we hope to pursue here in 2019. So thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Morning.
Commissioners, my name is Leland Baxter Neal, and I am the immigrant rights attorney for the ACLU of Oregon. Last time I appeared before you, I was working with Metropolitan Public Defender's Office, but have switched. Thank you for taking the time to consider the Equity Corps proposal and for your decision to vote to fund the Universal Representation Project. It is a very impressive investment and shows a lot of leadership. It is a fundamental tenet of our democracy that every person in this country, regardless of immigration status, has constitutional rights. But those rights mean nothing if individuals cannot meaningfully assert them and if they are not protected in our courts. We are living in an unprecedented time. The federal government is actively trying to keep immigrants from asserting their rights in court. And we saw that here in Oregon when, on May 31st, the Trump administration locked 123 asylum seekers in the federal prison in Sheridan and barred immigration attorneys from entering. In response, the ACLU of Oregon and Innovation Law Lab brought a federal lawsuit demanding that the men in Sheridan be allowed to have access to attorneys. The day before we were in court in that case, President Trump tweeted the following: "We cannot allow all of these people to invade our country. When somebody comes in, we must immediately, with no judges or court cases, bring them back from where they came. Our system is a mockery to good immigration policy and law and order." The judge in the Sheridan case, however, rightfully recognized that immigrants have a constitutional right to counsel and ordered the government to allow the immigrants in Sheridan to have access to attorneys. Since then, every detainee who was interviewed was found to have a credible fear of harm in his home country and has been cleared to bring his asylum case before an immigration judge. And nearly all have now been released from Sheridan in accordance with the law and thanks to their ability to access counsel. The Sheridan example highlights the need for universal representation and the Equity Corps in two ways. First, the Trump administration's project of mass detention and deportation of immigrants of color is premised not on the rule of law, but on the absence of law. True rule of law necessarily guarantees individual rights, an inconvenience for the Trump administration, and one that is guaranteed with the presence of counsel. Second, the example of Sheridan raises the critical question of what happens next for those men who have been and will be released from Sheridan. What I can tell you is that they now join more than 500,000 immigrants across the country who are facing deportation proceedings in which the government is always represented by an attorney, and which the immigrant is not necessarily, and where immigrants who are not represented by counsel face dismal odds of successfully asserting their rights and remaining here in communities they have built and with families that they are a part of. But today, with this vote, you say, we say, not in Portland. Thank you.
Thank you. Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, commissioners. My name is John Herrera. I'm the director of the Immigration Legal Services Program at Catholic Charities, and it's an honor and a pleasure to be here today just doing testimony, and more than testimony, is words of thank you for all of you and all my colleagues and people who already mentioned that are part of this important project to defend immigrants in Oregon. And we started here at home in Portland. This is the first step that the government started to do more than words and resolutions, but concrete steps to keep families together, to prevent our immigrant and refugee community to turn apart. Together with the private attorneys, nonprofits, legal service providers, and now the government, united to prevent the separation of families, aiming to preserve the rule of law and also the due process that this actual administration want to ignore. We are united together to keep our families in Oregon safe of separation. This is just not only a matter of keeping immigrants here because we are seeking protection from the government, but this is a human being issue. We are separating families, and that's not allowed according to the founders of this wonderful country. We came here seeking refuge, and that's what the city of Portland is doing now with this amazing resolution and giving the first step to keep our families together. So I really thank you and appreciate your effort and encourage you to continue this effort for the next year and keep us on the budget. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name is Shapon Sinlapasai Okamura. I'm here in capacity as an immigrant advocate and immigration attorney, but also representing ERCO's advisory board. I want to share with you a little bit about why this is a great first step, but why it needs to continue. First and foremost, our history, our immigration history, is riddled by immigrants and refugees from all over the world. We first started in 1607 through 1700 with first European immigrants coming to the United States. From 1619 to 1819, 645 million enslaved Africans were brought by force into the United States. From 1820 to 1870, 7 million immigrants, predominantly from Ireland and Germany, were brought to the U.S. In addition, from 1880 to 1920, 24 million immigrants from Eastern Europe, Russian Jews, and Catholics, because of religious persecution, was forced to relocate into the United States. The reason why these numbers are important and why numbers continue to be important because of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Those concepts are embedded, and those concepts are important in when we look at policy and in fighting for our immigrant and our Oregonians. Oregon alone makes up 10% of immigrant families. 10% of our community are mixed-race families. This is critical when we look at the impact on who can be deported. As this administration, this policy looks at denaturalizing 1,800 specifically Burmese refugees are being evaluated for deportation. This is critical. This has to be considered when we look at policy, legislation, and how we care for one another as family and community. I thank you for your time and humbled to be part of this task force. Please vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Next, I'd like to invite the following individuals to the table. Jenny Hernandez from Metropolitan Public Defender, Lisa Lesage from Immigration Counseling Services, Jordan Cunnings from Innovation Law Lab, and Kat Kelly from Catholic Charities.
Good morning.
Please just state your name for the record and take it away.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, commissioners. My name is Lisa Lesage. I'm the Executive Director of Immigration Counseling Service, ICS, which is Oregon's oldest and only independent nonprofit law firm serving immigrants since 1978 with offices in Hood River and Portland. We also have the only unaccompanied minors program in Oregon and the only full-time anti-trafficking program. As someone who has done civil rights and immigration legal work for over 30 years, both here and abroad and in the Middle East, I can personally attest to the overwhelming need and crisis that we have on our hands right now. And your vision for this funding goes beyond our immigrant community and is important for our entire Portland community. We currently have a huge number of families who are experiencing food and housing insecurity because the breadwinners have been taken from their home. We have people who are afraid to access medical care, children whose educations are being interrupted, parents who are afraid to go to schools to be involved in their children's education, and people who are afraid to venture out and participate in community life. The fear and the trauma have severe and long-lasting effects. Our advocates on the front lines and their successes are proof that access to legal services provides families and indeed our entire community with stability. Thank you very much for this initiative.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Jimmy Hernandez. I come here as an attorney at the Metropolitan Public Defender with a new project that has been there for about a little over a year to exactly address this issue, people who are in deportation. I've been doing this project for a little over a year, literally consulting and representing cases that I could of my limited capacity to for people who are in deportation. And I have seen and I have met them, and I have seen everyone coming into the community to talk about this great need. And I'm just here to say thank you so much for everyone that I met throughout this past year. I also have worked in the federal government and have worked in the immigration courts themselves, and I have seen what it is to have to go to court every day and see hundreds of people come through without a lawyer and not understanding their rights. I have seen children go to court being ordered removed because they didn't even understand that they needed to go find a lawyer. I have seen a child be ordered removed because she didn't know she had a court date. I have seen people who are affected by their histories and their trauma not be able to articulate their claims clearly because they don't have a lawyer to articulate their claims, where they do have a right to stay here in this country. And it's a constant, and under this new administration, that has been happening. It's a growing amount of people getting ordered removed because there's pressure to rush these cases. There's pressures for ICE to prosecute every case, which was not the case before. ICE did not have to prosecute every case, but now they're being told they have to go after every case. It is really a system that is completely being ramped up right now that already had incredible due process issues and complications. And now under the Trump administration, it is becoming... It is amplifying and figuring out every weakness possible to be able to deport as many people as possible. And as someone, as I said, who has met with so many people trying to figure out how to navigate the system and only being able to offer a limited service, now under this under this initiative with universal representation, I am so excited to be able to meet with people and tell them that there is going to be a publicly funded resource that the city and hopefully the state will be behind them to be there to make sure that they can offer, that they will be able to assert their rights and have a lawyer. And I just thank you very much for this initiative and for all that you've done.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Kat Kelly. I'm the Director of Strategic Initiatives with Catholic Charities, and I would like to echo what my colleagues have said, thanking the commissioners and the mayor for your support around this initiative. I just returned from the Texas border, where I was working on family reunification with families who had been separated when they were coming in for asylum. And whenever I speak with someone here in Oregon about that, one of the first things they ask is, this is so horrible, I can't believe this happened. And something I keep trying to emphasize is this happens every day in Oregon too. And these resources that you folks have provided will, in many cases, provide life-saving services to folks so that they can stay with their families, so that they can stay safe here in Oregon and remain the integral part of our community that they are. We really want the council to know that we are ready. We are ready to hit the ground. We have lawyers starting in October, and we have a very robust community-based organization relationships that have been around for years, who have worked with folks at risk of deportation for many, many years, but we've never had the resources necessary to provide universal representation. So we're ready, and with those resources, we will be able to effectively increase the services and support that we provide to people exponentially. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi. So my name is Jordan Cummings, and I'm the newly hired strategy attorney at the Innovation Law Lab. And I'm here thanks to your commitment to this work. So thank you from me personally also today. I'm thrilled to be here to provide just a quick update on the work that the city's commitment has already put in motion, starting immediately. Tomorrow, members of 16 diverse community organizations are gathering to discuss a coordinated outreach plan to the community members in Portland who are at the greatest risk of imminent deportation. And immigration attorneys funded by the city will begin taking removal cases as early as October. In the backdrop, some of the sharpest legal minds in immigration law are drafting blueprints that will enable the Equity Corps to achieve success in every winnable case. Our goal is to stop the deportation of every Portlander that we are able to represent. Thanks to the city's investment, the Equity Corps will defend everyone, stop unlawful deportations, and keep immigrant families together. We want to thank the city for acknowledging the urgency of this need and funding it directly, and we look forward to reporting back to you the impact that your commitment is going to have on our city. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question. When we approved the funding, the hope was that other jurisdictions would start chipping in as well. Is that happening?
Currently, we're working with Multnomah County around that, and CAUSA is in the process of working on that with partners around the state.
Yeah, I think we had a particular discussion about Beaverton and Hillsborough and some of the communities that depend on immigrant refugee labor for farming and agriculture.
I'm not sure where Roberto is, but he could probably answer that better than any of us here.
Well, it's okay, as long as I know that the, you know, those discussions are happening.
Yes.
And I'm sure
yes.
they are.
Yes, and at absolutely. The state level too.
Yes.
This was about the most that we could do from the city of Portland, but the need is so much greater than even this money is going to cover, isn't it?
Absolutely, and the leadership provided by the city of Portland, I think, will definitely influence our communities and other places around the state, so thank you.
And I can say I was in New York this spring, and they recognized Portland as one of the leading cities in the country that's taking this up, and the Vera Institute of Justice may be able to provide some matching funding for the city's efforts, so we're following up on that very closely, and we'll let you know.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Carla, do we have public testimony on this item?
Yes, we have three people left on the list.
Very good.
Please come on up. Shedrick J. Wilkins, Larry Cross, and Janice Chang.
Thank you. 3 minutes. Name for the record.
Hi, I'm Shedrick Wilkins, and I want to just say things about Catholic Charities. It's they have a four-story building across from Cleveland High School in Southeast Portland. In July, I went to a No on Measure 105 rally. No means we do accept Oregon as a sanctuary state, so vote no on it if you want to keep immigrants coming here. That rally was across from the football field near Cleveland High School near Catholic Charity. So there's kind of it's kind of a hotbed for political activities. I do think about health care. To me, I wear this button. And it actually, to me, it's a Kate Brown button, because I'll tell you why. Last year in 2017, the legislature passed a thing called Coverall, which means all children in Oregon, this corrects healthy kids, only covered resident children. But last year, all children were covered by health care. Well, what happened is in January, Newt Buechner and Julie Perry supported Initiative 101, which would overturn the whole system. But 60% of the Oregon voters voted for Measure 101, which is an insurance tax or something like that, for people on the Oregon Health Plan to solicit Medicaid. So now, as it presently stands, all children are covered or have availability for health care regardless of being poor. And I think that is very bad if we ask immigrants' families to come here, but we don't cover their children, because if you're a resident, you get covered and you're a poor, but not if you're an immigrant. And Kate Brown is a team player, because she passed both. She passed Coverall, and she supported Measure 101. And that also, there was a rally at a union hall right behind Catholic Charities near Cleveland High School, in which no less than Senator Ron Wyden, I got there late, I'm getting old, I'm not one to, full of people, Ron Wyden, Senator Jeff Berkley, and Lou Fredericks, who was he supported President Obama's reelection, were there giving a speech, and it was full of people. And one reason I haven't been here at City Hall is I hurt my foot. So, but I like to observe things. And my last statement about this button is Kate Brown's an Oregon team player for health care, for immigrant rights, and I'm not too sure about Newt Buechner.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Creativity Attack Dog. One of the biggest concerns I have on the issue, and of course, I'll make it very clear, I definitely recommend funding the group, their money, and in fact, if I had the choice, I would double your money at this time and make sure you get every penny, because you earn everything you're doing at this time. Now, one of my biggest concerns is that when we're talking common sense immigration reform, and when we're talking the position President Trump is taking, one of the things I think President Trump has miscalculated is that when you stated you would be the greatest jobs president, I believe that you will be created. But where you miscalculated on the immigration situation is that you have to reverse back now and understand that the people currently in the United States are needed to stay in the United States. They are needed to be provided a pathway to citizenship and understand that we have more jobs than people currently to fill these jobs. So you have done everything you wanted to do per your campaign, but you have to rethink and reverse back and understand that if you want to be known as one of the greatest humanitarians, such as what I think is Lauren Powell Jobs is, you need to listen very close to her and understand, reverse back a little bit, and understand the people are needed in the United States this time. Focus on that. Keep them here. Offer them a pathway to citizenship, which the Democrats don't seem to want to talk about, the 11 million. They don't want to seem to talk about that. Citizenship, and focus on the jobs you have created and the benefits to all the people right now. You have done what you need to do as far as on creating more jobs. Revert back a little bit, just a little bit, and then get these obstructionist, no good for nothing Democrats to step forward and begin to come forward with a common sense plan for immigration reform and quit playing games with 11 million people that the Democrats don't want to do anything to provide a pathway to citizenship because they don't want to do it. They don't want you to succeed. Revert back a little bit, call them out, and then get them out of office for the games they're playing with all the immigrants in the United States. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and fellow commissioners. I'm a little embarrassed. I was walking in with John Herrera, and I thought that was a sign-in sheet. And so, but here I am. I'm happy to still speak to you all and express my thanks. My name is Janice Chang. I am the immigration attorney with ERCO, which is the Immigrant and Refugee Community Organization. You know, I'm here also on behalf of ERCO to thank all of you for your investment to truly creating change from the ground up. But I'm also here because it's a very personal issue. For me, I identify ethnically as Hmong. My parents are from Laos. I also see myself and identify as a Southeast Asian. And this administration, with their policies, have impacted many folks in my Southeast Asian community who are facing deportation orders, who have been here for decades upon decades as, you know, lawful permanent residents. And so I'm just thrilled to see this city really walk the walk and making investments into this community that's also, you know, really been giving back to each other, to support each other. And that's all I want to say. My partners did such a wonderful job, and they are excellent. And thank you all.
Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Anything else, colleagues? Very good. Carla, please call the roll.
Hugh Daly.
Well, thank you, everyone who came to testify today. The Welcoming Inclusive Sanctuary City Task Force was comprised of impacted community members, immigration rights advocates, school district leaders, the county, local law enforcement, youth, TriMet, council staff, the New Portlanders Policy Commission, and several of our bureau partners, including Office of Government Relations, Office of Equity and Human Rights, and the City Attorney's Office. What we heard loud and clear from this diverse group of stakeholders was the urgency of needing to protect our immigrant and refugee communities. Since then, we've witnessed continued and increasingly aggressive attacks from the federal administration. Many of us were horrified by the family separation policies enacted this summer and had visceral reactions to the images and stories of children being torn from their families and abused in ICE detention. It is important to remember that immigrants entering the country now are not the federal administration's only target for this type of cruel family separation. This funding will allow our legal service providers to prevent the separation that we don't hear or see about, but is occurring in our communities nonetheless. We know that as of March 2018, there were 600 residents in East Portland alone with pending removal cases. We also know that the majority of individuals facing removal have meritorious cases, but without legal representation, the majority of them will be deported. Providing access to legal services is about protecting everyone's constitutional right to due process. This is one of the most fundamental components of our democracy, and every American, regardless of immigration status, should be proud to defend this value. I've watched this trauma unfold in my own community and circle of friends. I know a woman who is an American citizen, married to a refugee from Sierra Leone. They have a daughter, a young daughter, and he was deported earlier this year after fighting long and hard with very limited resources to stay in this country. Now his family is left crowdfunding in order to keep a roof over their head and continue with their struggle or their fight to bring him back to this country. They're also considering moving to Sierra Leone, which is one of the poorest nations on the planet and a country that's been pretty devastated by a long-running civil war. And I don't think that's a story that any of us wants to hear or should accept. So with that, I'd like to again thank all who testified today for your work to develop this concept and also for the important work you've been doing at airports and courtrooms in Sheridan, around our city and around our state. I'd also like to thank all who were involved in the task force, with a special shout out to the New Portlanders Policy Commission and to Winta Johannes, who steadfastly continues to leave her name off my list of thank yous, but I've gotten really good at catching that, and I'm adding her back in. She's on my policy team in my office. She was really instrumental in forming and shepherding this task force. And finally, I want to acknowledge our grassroots community advocates and service providers who've been in this fight for immigration rights for a long time. I want to thank them for laying the groundwork for projects such as this and for their work to raise awareness while diligently defending our immigrant and refugee communities. I vote aye.
Fritz.
Thank you, Commissioner Udaly, for your leadership on this project. On behalf of the entire council, none of us needed our arms twisted. In fact, I think you had to fend some of us off in terms of the process that you set in motion and letting the community have their say. I appreciate your work on this and your continued advocacy as the only immigrant on the council. This is especially meaningful to me. I still have people who write to me saying, go back where you came from. I've been here since 1979. And I'm a naturalized citizen, but I am very well aware that in this administration that makes me a second-class citizen, and that even citizens are at risk for deportation. I'm also aware that this administration is cutting the allocation from 90,000 legal immigrants to 30,000 legal immigrants per year. So when people say, well, they should just go through the legal process, good luck with that. That, too, is a very arduous and difficult thing to have happen. Mayor, I can't help but notice that there are none of the people who yell at you on a daily basis in the chamber right now. And when the people, the people who yell at us and harass other citizens, other community members coming into council by yelling about demolish ICE, they're conspicuously absent here. And so the council is putting its money where its mouth is and is actually doing things that will help immigrant and refugees. I really wish people who'd like to just yell at us would start knocking on doors and recognize that there's an election coming up in 50 days or so, that significant ballot measures that will also affect immigrant and refugees, and that there are things that they can do. Why leave it to the five of us to do everything? We can't do everything. That's what's going to really make a difference in our community. And if we think it's bad now, let's wait and see what would happen if some of those ballot measures pass. So, again, thank you also to Golden Salazar, previously on my staff, who's now teaching in Ecuador. But she was very much a part of and supportive of this project, and I want to acknowledge her work. Aye.
Fish.
Well, we're authorizing a grant agreement today. Really, the hard work occurred during the budget process and the prioritization. So to Commissioner Udaly and to Mayor Wheeler, thank you for making this a council priority. And Mayor, thank you for funding it. And I'm obviously pleased to support the grant agreement. Just a quick personal story. My two children, ages 14 and 25, are bilingual. And they're bilingual because their grandmother, Carmen Gomez, who immigrated here from Spain, was mostly a Spanish speaker. She learned a little bit of English and somehow managed to win all the Scrabble tournaments at our house over the holidays. But she is the reason that my children have had this great gift of language. And this weekend, we're burying Carmen. She lived a long and fruitful life, and I'll be in New York burying her and celebrating her life. She came here with very little English and with very few prospects other than a dream, and she is the classic immigrant success story in our country. And I would not be here today if it wasn't for Carmen, because it was Carmen's daughter, my wife Patricia, who took a job at Portland State and announced that we're moving the family west. So I honor Carmen today as we make a stand to support immigrant rights in our community. Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, I want to start by thanking everybody who shared their stories today and everybody who testified and really gave a clear narrative to why these resources are so important in the community. Portland has prioritized these resources so that undocumented individuals in our community can receive the representation that they deserve. I want to be clear. I know it's not enough. I know it's not enough. And we have some serious battles coming up on the ballot in November, and that's been alluded to today, and I don't want to understate that reality. So now is not the time to be silent. Now is not the time to have our voices silenced on these important issues. Hate and racism aren't acceptable here or anywhere else, for that matter. And I do not walk in the shoes of immigrants in this community. I don't. And I cannot imagine the struggles that you're currently facing in this often hostile environment. But I want you to know this, those of you in the immigrant community, I see you and I stand with you. And the people of this city see you and they stand with you too. That's what this ordinance is all about. It's about making sure that people have access to their existing constitutional rights, which are currently under attack. And therefore, there is a role for the rest of us in this community to play. I want to give credit where credit is due. This would not have happened without Commissioner Udaly. This is an idea that Commissioner Udaly brought to me some time ago, and she said, there's some people I want you to meet, there's some people I want you to talk with, and there's some ideas that we want to pitch you. And here we are now, it's been almost a year, year and a half even, later, and this process has led to something I think very positive, very productive, and I think ultimately it will have very solid outcomes. I was always pleased to hear people testifying saying, and we'll bring back the outcomes and share those outcomes and those stories and those successes with you. That just makes me all the happier. I know behind every great leader there is great staffing, and Winta Johannes, I know that you played a critical role in all of this, so I want to acknowledge you as well. Good work, Portland. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thank you.
Mayor?
Commissioner Fish.
Just on a housekeeping matter, I just did the math. We've got about an hour and a half of items, and we've been greatly exceeding the estimated times. Perhaps we could encourage the folks coming before us in the next few items to be as brief as possible so we can get through this agenda by 12:30.
Well, let's see what we can do. Item 987.
except report scaling smart city, smart resources, doing what works, a system level path to producing 2,000 units of supportive housing in Portland and Multnomah County.
Colleagues, last week at a joint work session with the Multnomah County Commissioners, we had the opportunity to hear an exciting report by the Corporation for Supportive Housing on our community's plan to create 2,000 units of supportive housing over the next 10 years. This, of course, is integral to our strategy around addressing chronic homelessness in the city of Portland. This report lays out an aggressive and achievable path forward, including quantifying the total cost of meeting that goal, an assessment of the available resources, and the next steps for implementation. This report responds to Council's request from the October 2017 Supportive Housing Resolution to produce an actionable plan for meeting this goal. Today, I'm bringing this report before the Council for its acceptance with my co-sponsors, Commissioners Udaly and Fish. And at this time, I'd like to turn it over to Commissioners Udaly and Fish if they have any opening comments. Commissioner Udaly?
I'm going to just have a closing comment when we accept the report, Mayor.
Very good. Commissioner Udaly?
Same.
Very good. So without further ado, then, I'd like to introduce is Heather starting out, Heather Lyons, who's the director of the Corporation for Supportive Housing's Pacific Northwest and Hawaii office. I wonder if you get to spend any time there. I'm happy to visit on your behalf. And Shannon Callahan, the Housing Bureau Director, and they're going to provide a few basic comments. And, of course, we have Mark Jolin here as well from the Joint Office of Homeless Services. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having us here, Mayor and Commissioners. I've had the great pleasure of working with the Joint Office on Homeless Services and the Portland Housing Bureau and all of the conveners to develop this report on creating 2,000 units of supportive housing. And first, I want to thank you all for giving us the opportunity to do this work. It's not often I thank people for giving us work to do, but this was really quite a pleasure, and it wouldn't have happened without the resolution that you all passed last year or last fall. So thank you so much. Very quickly, at CSH, we believe that deeply affordable housing is the solution to homelessness and that supportive housing is the solution for a subset of people who need both housing and coordinated services to succeed in housing. The report has detailed information about the characteristics of people who need this housing, as well as the types of services that people need to be able to be stable in their housing. There are quite a few potential funding options. We know that the city and county alone cannot fund these 2,000 units that are part of are the goal over the next 10 years. The resources are include things like the health systems, philanthropy, Medicaid and Medicare. There's also greater opportunities to do braided funding amongst jurisdictions as well as other entities that provide funding for services for housing. There are some statewide efforts and metrowide efforts that will support these 2,000 units as well. The key is to all of this is that there's just a ton of interest in supportive housing right now as a solution to systemic problems, and so it provides a great deal of opportunity for engagement across all of these entities. I just think the notable example is the health systems. They're really engaged. They really see this as a solution to some of their problems of their frequent users, and I think they're going to remain engaged in these continued discussions, not only around policy work, but also about resources. So again, I just want to thank you for your leadership and support in this effort, and it was a true pleasure to work with both Mark and Shannon and other conveners at that group to produce this report for you. So thank you.
Mayor Commissioner Shannon Callahan of the Housing Bureau, I will echo Heather's thanks for the work of the conveners group. We look forward to having this plan adopted today so that we can continue with the implementation of the plan that we've already been undertaking since last October. Just to remind you, we've already been able to achieve or have planned 517 units of new supportive housing, including the West Wind apartment complex, which we announced at our meeting last week. In the spirit of brevity, I would like to turn it over to Mark Jolin for a few final comments about what's next.
Mayor and Commissioners, thank you. My name is Mark Joel, and I'm Director of the Joint Office of Homeless Services. I, too, thank you for giving us this task because it's such a critical work in our shared efforts to end homelessness. There is a robust section of this report that is about implementation. It is the next steps. And without going through them, understand that we view that as our responsibility now to move forward with those implementation steps, including completing the regional planning work that is happening and continue to participate with the state in their planning work, pulling together the two governing bodies that are anticipated there, the Supportive Housing Funders Collaborative that will be looking at resources that will be needed to carry out the vision of this plan, and then also the Supportive Housing Implementation Committee, which will be those of us who have been doing this work to date, continuing our work together in a collaborative fashion. And we'll be working to put together that very clear roadmap about exactly how we get from here to the full 2000. So I appreciate your support for this work and look forward to continuing to do it with you.
Very good. Any questions? Commissioner Fish?
Mayor, I move to accept the report.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fish, a second from Commissioner Fritz.
Public communication, Ted.
It's a report. Please call the roll.
Ted,
excuse me, you're interrupting. Excuse me. You're in violation of council rules.
I'm glad to leave, Ted.
Thank you.
You're going to be voted out. You're a disgrace.
Very good. Thank you. It's still a violation of council rules,
you're
and we're still calling the roll. Thank you.
You daily.
Well, I want to first thank the Joint Office on Homelessness, the Portland Housing Bureau, and all the resource and housing providers who contribute on a daily basis to housing and supporting some of our most vulnerable residents. I especially want to thank Commissioner Fish for setting us on this path and for challenging us to be bold in solving one of the most intractable crises our city experiences. I was impressed by the data presented and by the plan, and I'm excited that in the first year, we are already a quarter of the way to our 10-year goal, and I hope that we will exceed our own expectations as quickly as possible, because we know we need more. I do want to point out to the council and the public an area of need that was identified in this report but not discussed much. And that is that the report clearly identifies that a lack of tenant protections, especially around screening criteria, continues to be an obstacle for renters of all walks of life. The private housing market is too often failing us by rejecting applicants for minor issues on their records. A lack of regulations has allowed private profit to become more important than the public good, and the result is the housing crisis that we're in. This has direct, disproportionate impacts on communities of color and other protected classes. If we intend to take seriously our commitment to equity and ending racial disparities in our city, we must be brave enough to call it out for what it is and create tenant protections that further federal fair housing law and uplift the notion that housing is a human right. Thanks again for this report. I vote aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for the work session. Thank you, Heather, for your ongoing work on this and your leadership now nationally. And thanks, Mayor Wheeler, for being willing to share the responsibilities of the Housing Bureau and housing needs with the former Commissioner, Commissioner Fish, and with Commissioner Udaly's perspective and firm commitment also. Of course, I have both. I just haven't the expertise. What I can offer is the experience in the supportive part of it in terms of mental health care. And as was discussed at the work session last week, one of the challenges is not only the housing, it's providing the professionals who provide the services. And so I will be proposing for the city's legislative agenda that we advocate to the legislature to improve conditions for the providers. And that won't actually necessarily mean more providers. It will mean that the providers stay and don't go off to do other things unrelated to the master's preparation that they may have because of appallingly poverty wages and being expected to work just for the love of it, which doesn't pay the bills and doesn't keep people in jobs. So that's a piece that we need to work hard on. Also, it is concerning that we're not on track to get to the goal in the 10 years at this point. And so we're very close to it, but we're not, but if one thinks of the first units perhaps being the easiest to do, it's going to be harder. And I'm saying that not as a something derogatory, but as a recognition to all of us that this may get easier as we go along and we get to know more about how to do what we're doing and just keep replicating it. It may be more challenging after we've purchased the buildings that are available, used up all the resources of personnel that are available, then what? And so it's going to take a lot of work over the next 7 years to reach the goal that Commissioner Fish set for us. And I, for one, am very committed to helping get there. Aye.
Fish?
Well, colleagues, this is a proud and historic day, and I want to thank Mark and Heather and Shannon for their leadership. I thought last week's work session was superb, and the roadmap that you gave us was incredibly thoughtful and comprehensive. One data point really stood at, jumped out at me, and you know, you're asking us, we're challenging ourselves to make a bold commitment to invest in success, but consider the alternatives. It costs about $500 a day to put someone in an emergency room bed. It costs about $200, $210 a day to house someone in a city jail. A shelter bed, which is basically a dead end, is $60. And for about $60 a day, we can actually place someone in a deeply affordable home with the services they need to get their life back on track. I think the math speaks for itself. Last year, we challenged ourselves and our partners to find a way to significantly increase supportive housing in our community because, as we've noted, it's the only strategy that's proven to end chronic homelessness. We asked for a roadmap, and today we're accepting your work product. I want to thank everyone who contributed along the way, especially the Joint Office of Homeless Services and Mark Jolin and Heather and the team at the Corporation for Supportive Housing and our interim director and our friends at the Portland Housing Bureau for their extraordinary work. And I want to highlight again something we heard last week, that this work didn't start then or today. It's already underway, and we've made a substantial down payment. A lot of work, of course, lies ahead. Big questions remain about how we're going to fund this. But with this roadmap and with the collective will that we have demonstrated so far, I'm confident that we will get there. I'm proud of how far we've come, and I'm excited to take the next step. Thank you.
Wheeler.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Lightning. I was getting nervous. It was almost noon and nobody'd yelled at me yet today, so I feel balanced again. Second of all, I concur with my colleagues. I thought the report was exceptional. The work session was outstanding. It was both inspirational as well as frank. We all agree we have a lot of work to do, but I also just want to acknowledge the work that has been done by the Joint Office, by the Housing Bureau. Shannon, you mentioned that we actually now already have hundreds of these units in process, so we're well on our way towards achieving at least the early benchmarks in this process. And over the long term, we will have our challenges, but I'm confident that we can rise to the occasion. I vote aye. The report's accepted. Thank you for your good work.
Thank you.
Next.